You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Justified After Show.
And welcome, everybody. Thank you for joining us for another AfterBuzz TV After Show for Justified Season 5, Episode 10, entitled Wait. I'm John Comerford. I'm joined on the big panel by Tamara Bird.
Hey, everybody.
Stephen Bottomley.
Hi.
Matt Lieberman.
Hey, hey, hey.
And helming booth is Marissa Serafini. Thank you, Marissa.
Hello.
All right, I want to start right off with learning what the 21-foot rule comes to, because I can't get that image out of my brain with those feet, legs sticking out of the hole. I mean, how much is that? I mean, we've been pimping that for the whole series, and we finally get the whole season, we finally get to see what it's like.
And the 21-foot rule does not take into account unexpected graves.
No.
Yes.
No,
yeah, you got to figure that one.
Yeah.
I was bummed because I don't know whether Raylan could have pulled it off. It seemed like he wasn't going to be able to. It seems like he was kind of slow on the draw.
No, I think he was so shocked that the guy actually did it. He was far enough away.
Had there not been a grave, I think it would have been close.
I think he would have just punched him in the face and then shot him.
Yeah,
right?
That would have been, probably. That would have been funny. Yeah. And it was a nice homage to Out of Sight because it looked a lot like the fat white boy, whatever his name, character name.
I can't remember
his character name when he runs up the steps and he trips and shoots himself in the head.
I've watched this three times and... Yeah. Each time I'm just laughing with those legs sticking up.
Yeah.
I was alone watching it and I couldn't stop laughing for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I was just like cackling laughing so loud.
You know, it's funny because it was an homage, I'm guessing, to Out of Sight, which is obviously Elmore Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right, great. But even that, I think I read that was not something that was ever written in the book in that particular thing, that was something they did for the movie on set that day or whatever. So it's funny because it is very Elmore Leonard, and now they're paying an homage to something that was
inspired by Elmore Leonard.
Exactly.
And honestly, it's such a pleasure to see something that's been strung along all season paid off,
right?
And then also to have this tense moment that we've been waiting for so beautifully undercut, and it just made it so ridiculous, and it was just a joy to watch. And Danny got what he deserved.
Yeah.
He deserved to go out looking like a fool.
Yeah.
No, so did you look?
I didn't look the second, when we came back to him with the thing in his, I kind of was like this. Yeah, I was, because I didn't like it. But then I was reading about A.J. Buckley, the actor who played that. I was reading about his experience of it. And he said that, the inside of his mouth and the blade is a little like prosthetic piece, silver piece that he kept in there. And he had blood in his mouth while he was turning over. So he was actually choking because you don't want to swallow that stuff, And he got to keep the prosthetic.
That's nice.
What are they going to do with it?
Guess what he's doing for Halloween every year from now on.
That was great looking, though. I mean,
that's good.
Oh, my
beautiful.
God.
Impressive.
Ones.
Yeah.
So
again, kudos
funny.
To the art department. Who handles it? Would that be art department?
Yeah, it would be art department. Yeah. That would be our old buddy Dave Blass.
Dave Blass,
right.
Working in conjunction with the makeup team.
Right,
and speaking of Dave Blass, we have our vote-in Shelby here for us last week, so we got it prominently displayed. Thank you very much, David.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Hell of a sheriff, hell of a car.
One of the other things that I wanted to say was that during the shooting of that scene, according to A.J. Buckley, he was saying that Timothy Oliphant couldn't stop laughing. He was laughing during A.J. Buckley's takes. He was laughing when the stuntman was doing it. He was laughing when it was his stuff. He just got a kick out of it. And then the way that John Dahl shot it with those feet sticking up, that it's Elmore Leonard.
Mm-hmm.
So, apparently it was hilarious. And they wrapped at like 4 o'clock in the morning when they did that scene.
Man. This is what I loved about it. I always pictured Danny going out with just riddled with gunfire.
Yes!
Just in a horrible slow, and just to have him go in a
pathetic,
hoisted on his own petard.
There you go. Yeah. Thank you, Tamara.
Dug for a dog, which is even better. And again,
Kendall, not just for a dog, for
Chelsea.
Chelsea.
So, you know, where in a way, Kendall got his his revenge.
In a way.
In a way.
Yeah.
Oh, God, that was hilarious.
That's so, a great way to go out.
Didn't see anything close to that coming. I mean, no, I honestly thought that it was going to be a punch from Raylan. Just like, you idiot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Just, but no, that was so much better.
So much better. Really, and honestly, I'm just glad he's out of the way. Because not only does it kick up the stakes for all of our remaining crows, but the dude was a loose cannon. He was crazy and dangerous. And I'm glad that he's no longer on this fictional earth.
Okay.
He's a killer. He's a murderer. Mm-hmm. And then he doesn't tell people.
And how economical to die in a grave. I mean, seriously.
Right.
I mean, it's a very...
No muss, no fuss.
Right. Yeah. Half the job already done.
Yeah exactly. Fair. You know, the same way that Penny described her stabber shiv, you know.
Yeah, no muss, no fuss.
No muss, no fuss. Mm-hmm. It's just easy. Easy going. Yeah.
I liked how Raylan approached him. You know, he had to give him his moment. You know, he understood, you lost your dog. Okay, we're going to, you know, I'll give you that. But and there's still business.
He gave him even more because he was going to do a favor for him because of the somber moment.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, in honor of that.
I love that line, you understand the favor? Yeah. You know? Like, because he's not really getting anything.
No.
You know, he's still going to have to go in for all this. For the heroin possession, he's still going to be probably, you know, years or maybe life in prison.
Yeah.
But the favor is there, and he did notice it.
And Danny would be likely to misunderstand.
Yeah.
Also, who else would be likely to misunderstand is Dewey. So let's talk about Dewey's storyline there. With the tow truck, starting off with the tow truck. Mm-hmm. My
Idiot
God.
Cousin Dewey.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. He's just so ill-equipped.
For life or anything.
Yeah.
It's like he really does need to have his dream world where he's just sitting in the above-ground pool. Because that's about all he can handle.
With the whores.
That's really about it.
Yeah.
It's
he's so pathetic. And then he's I mean, it was great, so comical to see him running with the stupid outfit on and running after the gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just the idea that you're chasing a gremlin to begin with.
Was it downhill or was the car just on?
It was downhill.
No, okay.
The trooper and Raylan were talking about
Raylan
that.
Raylan mentioned it,
And how stupid he was.
Unhitch the car downhill.
Yeah, downhill, so that's why he had to chase it.
Got it.
Yeah. But
they are really going to make you sad when he goes.
Yeah. Oh.
And when he was identified by the hiker or whatever, that's
he
two hikers,
look
he
right.
just didn't look right.
He didn't
look right.
Yeah.
I think that's, you know, idiot cousin Dewey and he didn't look right are the two perfect descriptions for him.
I agree.
But look, if he's smart enough to go after Boyd or at least ask Boyd for some money, I mean.
That is where he shines.
Whoa.
That is where the writing of that character shines, is when he has to be, I'm in charge now, I got this. Mm-hmm. And I got I got the whole half of all of it. He's getting lost in his home.
Yeah.
You know, I'm high on that fabled catbird seat. You know, he's like...
Because he aspires to be like Boyd.
He does. Yeah. He does. He's really trying to like grab what's his. And as hard as he tries,
he
someone
can't.
Takes it.
Oh, my God. Mm. So pathetic. And then, of course, you know, he thinks that all I have to do is... And I thought... Sorry, I'm going crazy. But
it's okay.
He asked for $250,000 because the money I should have been given for Audrey.
Yeah. It's only fair.
I know
it's
is.
Not
it's
even
like,
what the
no,
heroin's worth.
It.
Right. Well, what is the heroin worth?
I don't know. Who knows?
It's like millions and millions,
right?
At least a few million.
Right.
Yeah, got to be.
But that's
he's a resident
what's so
drug
great
expert. Thank
this.
You, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. You're welcome.
He's the last guy that has some sort of... idea of what's fair in this
I
whole
just
thing.
Want
he's,
what's mine.
He's only, he only wants his dream. That's the only thing he's ever
greedy.
Been going after.
No.
Yeah. Just give me what's mine and I'll give you this to you. And what he wants is to just go.
He just wants
he
to go.
He just wants to get
be
out.
Be with his loyal whores.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Loyal to the end unless they're getting a sweet taste of that sweet, sweet cat. you know, find an in-ground pool somewhere else, somewhere far away.
An in-ground, that would be
that'd be an
in-ground
upgrade,
would be great.
Right.
Yeah.
With maybe one of those changing porticos that you can change your, you know, into your bath. Bathing suit.
Bathing costume?
Yes.
Yeah. One of those little pop-up tents?
Or lights. Yes. LED lights. I'm a little...
LEDs. Yeah.
That'd be nice. You know, he's a simple guy with simple tastes.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. His lovely whores, you know, sold him out for a couple of...
Yeah, Raylan.
A stack of money.
Yeah. Well, you know,
turned out to be
$10. Yeah, after this phone call, after this phone call, Boyd passes off this assignment to Daryl, and he's not happy about it. They're getting ready to scam him, and Raylan shows up just in time to snatch the money and pay a visit to the whores. He gives them a little taste of that fake money to get their cell phone, And he gives Dewey a bright idea. He's got to visit his last good friend in the world.
Right.
Before we get to that friend, I've got to talk about another friend, because our friend Maria Menounos had a big show opening this week. So, Maria,
premiere last
I'm sorry, Marissa, you, let everybody know what happened on Tuesday and what is going to be happening for the next week.
Yeah, Maria Menounos' new reality show came out yesterday and it premiered. And you know what? Let's take a little sneak peek of what you'll see.
Yes. Tuesdays on Oxygen.
I'm Maria Menounos, and my life can get a little crazy. I host Extra. I'm an actor, producer, dancer, wrestler, and a lot of other things.
I live with Kevin, my boyfriend of 15 years.
Do you really love me?
I would say that I'm in serious like.
And my parents. Yep, I just said I live with my parents.
You drive me crazy.
You drive me crazy.
My parents want us to get married.
You both love each other. Get married.
Kevin and I don't.
I am going to get married when I want to get married.
I think I want kids. Kevin definitely doesn't want them now.
This is being pushed on to us.
And of course, my parents wanted them yesterday.
This year, you got to have it.
And I have a house full of people counting on me financially.
If I take my eye off the ball, everything can fall apart.
It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks or wants us to do. It's what we want to do.
Everyone thinks that they know what's best for me, but I'm really the only one.
I have got to figure things out.
Chasing Maria Menounos is so new. Every Tuesday at 10, 9 central, starting March 18th, only on Oxygen.
Okay, so that's our friend and executive producer, Maria Menounos, and her new reality show. So check that out. We want to thank her very much.
Yeah.
So moving on to Dewey's friend. So the last friend he has in the world, or his only friend, I guess, is Dickie. And what
Dickie
a welcome
Bennett.
Sight to see.
Oh, my God. How I didn't realize how much I missed him until he was there with his terrible hair.
His terrible hair.
And
his weird affectations. I mean, just odd behavior.
It's a wonderful character.
Yeah. Was it Dave Blass who told us that he heard Dickie Bennett cuts his own
hair?
Yeah,
Jeremy cut
his own hair? Yeah.
Yeah, at least he did in season three. What we don't know is whether or not he's still doing it or they're just matching what he
probably
did.
Probably got to pay somebody
then.
A lot to get
exactly.
it just right.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just love how Timothy Olyphant just stood back and let him go.
Yeah.
You know, he's just
mean, not only that, but I mean, he really gave him the scene. He just sat down and watched.
Yep.
He said, look, check this out.
Yep. Yeah.
So it was interesting. In the Graham Yost Postmortem in Entertainment Weekly that we always read, he made a big deal to talk about the fact that Timothy Olyphant in that Raylan in that room sits there with his head on his fist just listening to Dickie Bennett and that he'd never been in that posture before in the entire
it's
series
hunched over position
and I don't but he didn't really say much more than that.
Well, it's not an iconic look. I mean, if you remember the posters they did last season, even this season, they're very iconic. And the way he was first leaning up against the wall in that scene, that's very Raylan-esque.
Right,
we see that kind of thing a lot. You just don't see that frame in that posture.
What's interesting about it is, you know, a lot of his more iconic looks are very masculine. They're very relaxed. This, to me, felt like a Raylan who was tired, who was fed up, who was biding his time listening to this guy drone on, and he couldn't be bothered to do any posturing. Like, this is a guy who has been through the ringer, and he's getting tired of how long it takes to get anything done.
And I would agree with that, because we also saw the way he took the briefcase.
Mm-hmm.
You can see normally there'd be some, you know, little, you know, and there was a little bit of banter
he broke
beforehand.
The law. He assaulted
them. Grabbed it, and smacked him, up, you know, and took it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the thing that I was going back to. He's losing his patience.
Yeah,
and you've already seen what happens when he loses his patience. He gets in trouble.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But and I thought that was interesting too. And for me, it was kind of like he was just listening to a child.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, just, you know, well, you're interesting. Tell me more of your story. And it was not threatening at all. It was like almost, I don't want to say subservient, but it was very just.
See, I read that differently. I read it more as like an adult listening to a kid tell you a story that you know is entirely BS about why, you know, your computer's broken.
But I also read it as I know Dickie well enough to know that I'll just let him talk because he's going to screw up.
He's going to hang
and then I'll get what I
end.
Need and I don't have to give him anything, which is exactly what happened.
Because
how many times has he gone up against
That's
Dickie?
True.
And he knows him.
It's very true.
Just let him talk, because that's what Dickie likes to do.
Yeah, because, again, he fancies himself somebody, you know, a kingpin or a powerhouse.
Yeah, and the way he was saying the whole thing, I got what you need. You know, you just need to turn yourself around and do it the way I want, because I can get you sitting pretty if you give me what I want.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And much was made of the fact that he's now in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
After mm-hmm. we last saw him in season 3 when Raylan mm-hmm. shot his bad leg, mm-hmm. and now he can't even stand up,
mm-hmm.
can't even limp around mm-hmm. anymore.
Did you say that was it for him? For Jeremy?
Dickie Bennett? I believe it is. I okay. believe that's it for this season, yeah. Mm-hmm.
God, it was good to see him.
I know.
Yeah. We didn't talk about Parker Stevenson going to...
Oh, yes, and, yes, of course. That's what the name Dewey uses in order to get into...
It's on his ID.
It's on his ID. Because obviously as a felon, he can't go visiting with his known name.
Right.
So he makes up right. Parker Stevenson, which is great. For those who don't know, that's way back when from the Hardy Boys.
Hardy Boys days. Oh, yeah.
Parker Stevenson's
an actor. Yeah, Simon was he Simon? Was
I
he
think,
there
I think
too?
It was
okay.
one of the Simon brothers.
All right, I don't all remember right. that. Yeah,
pretty sure.
Wait, that's a
I
that's
could be
a
totally
pull.
Wrong. Was he the one that's married to?
Was married to Kirstie.
Yeah. Kirstie Alley.
Yeah. Yeah. Simon.
And brother
and
to Sean
Gerald
Cassidy.
McCraney.
TV brother anyway.
Yeah. Well, for all of you. Who
Anywho, so much for that
yeah.
diversion.
That was
yeah.
fun.
Yeah.
That's.
What? So you know they both. Visit Dickie, and it's a pleasure to see them. But Dewey, you know, he goes off to one of Dickie's.
Oh, wait, before
own...
we get into that, because yeah. one thing we didn't talk about was the map mod.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, come
how
on. Dickie was
that.
Like,
loved it.
Go to the oh, grab my... and go, gas and guzzle, whatever it was.
Yeah,
right.
Get yeah. yourself a map.
Save a lot.
It's like, who the hell wrote that? That's what, I mean, I obviously we know the writers of this story. I just want to know, okay, I wanted to be in the room when that thing happened.
Mm.
Yeah.
Just,
mm.
keep, just keep going.
Yeah,
yeah. Just keep going, going until you wink out of existence.
Yeah. What? I mean, I don't know if they got Jeremy before that script was written, if they said, yeah, or if they say, look, this is what we want you to do. And he said, yeah, of course I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a great
yeah,
that,
beautiful bit of writing.
Yeah. One of the things that they did say was that Jeremy brings a lot of the life to the character.
Okay, yeah.
But you know, I mean, they follow their scripts pretty closely on yeah. this show because, number one, they're written so well, and number two, the actors recognize that they're yeah. written so well. Just, mm-hmm. just do what they say,
yeah.
you know?
Wow. That was great. So I'm sorry to interrupt, Matt. You were talking about Dewey moving on.
You know, just that Dewey goes to meet one of our old dealer buddies,
Cyrus. For those of you who don't know, is the pellet guy.
Yeah, haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, pellet guy.
Oh,
yeah.
The guy who was shooting the tweakers.
He was shooting the tweakers, and then Wynn was turning the back on him and shooting him.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's where we last saw
right.
him.
Right.
Yeah. So he's very excited about these bricks. Yeah. A lot of money to be made. However, he's got to get the money cavalry like you do in any situation. You're out at the grocery store and you don't have enough to get everything you need. You don't want to put the turkey back, so you get the money cavalry on the horn because that's a thing. And instead, we get Danny showing up and this Mexican standoff between these idiots. As they're hurling accusations at each other, then Cyrus pulling out two guns and dictating the terms,
mm-hmm.
getting his bricks, and he, all in all, he had a great day.
He did.
You know,
very
good
successful
day for Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted drugs, now he has them.
I was expecting Cyrus to end as soon as Dewey left.
Oh, for Danny to Danny just pick up the gun and shoot him?
I thought the whole thing was... I liked it. I thought visually it was wonderful. But why...
And are you throwing the implausible flag?
Yeah, because I was mm-hmm. like, why is that happening? And it just seemed like so... Oh, you're so ready to just drop your guns? I thought...
Yeah.
Why brandish?
Because there's a lot at stake in this room with those bricks.
I just really thought that Danny wasn't going to let three bricks stay if you know, you just kill a guy that no one knows you were there anyway.
Yeah.
No one knows where you are.
He is in mourning. He's not thinking clearly.
He's
letting people live.
Yeah.
He's letting bricks go away.
Yeah, I mean, between how many they've had to give out to various drivers.
Right.
And, how much is left.
Right.
Like, so they get like a quarter of the overall thing, and then Raylan takes it. But they
I'm with you on the implausibility flag on that one. But it was a great scene. And
yes.
And so we give up our,
criticism
on this.
I really thought Danny was going to kill Dewey.
Oh, yeah. I thought for sure they'd go after that. But
we don't see
that.
Dewey after this scene in this episode. So he's just off
because he got a two-minute head start.
He got a two-minute head start. And as you mentioned, Danny is still mourning.
Yeah.
So he was grieving. So he didn't go after Dewey because he had to deal with
Instead,
Chelsea.
He went and got lilies for Chelsea's group.
But obviously, that's not the end of Dewey. So at least not this season.
Yeah.
He's going
to
see.
He sure doesn't have a lot to bargain with. Well, he's got the gremlin.
Well, and Raylan did a good job of saying, look, your name is Mud with the Dixie Mafia. So you got nowhere there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even your own horse sold you out. So you got, I don't know how much you got there either. So where's he going to go? What's going to happen to him? I still think he's going to get killed.
By the way, they do a great moment when he takes some money. He's like, you know, who do you think you're going to fool with this? And, you know, all this sort of, and he fools the horse right away.
With them. Here. With the pleather suitcase. Yeah. The briefcase. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knew they were, what would you say? Oh, no, this is a green whorehouse.
Oh, right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This here is a green.
My used condoms. This here's a green whorehouse.
Hilarious. Michael Rapaport is just killing it this season.
A lot of great lines in this episode.
Yeah, and before we skip over, because we were talking about Danny earlier, we get a moment where he talks about where he found Chelsea and kind of connecting that back.
Yes.
And it was nice to get that out of him, especially when he's got, I mean, I've never had a dog, and I know people mm-hmm. love their dogs intensely. His love is very intense.
Mm.
And knowing, you know, that how proud he is the strength of this pup who was nearly dead and now is so strong. Mm-hmm. You understand why he's obsessed with this dog,
right?
You know,
yeah.
And then there's also the Kendall of it all, which can we get into?
Yeah, let's jump in.
Yeah. So I mean, at the very top of the episode, Chelsea runs off and gets hit by a car. Kendall knows he is doomed. There's nothing to be done. Danny is completely irrational. Although part of me is wondering, you know, why couldn't he go to his mom? Why couldn't he go to Daryl and let them know what was going on?
Well, I think he's got incentive to leave as, you know, anyway.
Sure. And what he said to Allison right there, I've seen Danny do stuff even when he wasn't mad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that, what's Wendy, what's his mother going to do? How is his mother going to stop that?
Yeah.
It's true.
I thought it was, to me, as soon as whatever he said to Allison, yeah, that's right, I would have run too.
Yeah.
He's apparently very hungry because he was only there for like maybe an hour or two, and
he's
already
on the run.
But I'm saying he's eating pizza, and then she makes him another sandwich.
Yeah.
And I'm just like carbs on carbs on carbs.
Yeah,
he's a kid.
I guess so.
He can do that.
Well, he had the Mountain Dew.
That's
so
true.
That equals everything.
You're
out.
Right. That dissolves everything.
It was an interesting conversation that they had, where he was really, really trying to be a man. Mm-hmm. And trying to say the things that a man would say. And I thought it was a great callback later with Daryl, mm-hmm. That, you know, how they closed the mm-hmm. episode with.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
And I thought they let Allison play it just right. You know, she didn't condescend. You know, she kind of acknowledged and didn't, you know, oh, don't be silly.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is probably not the first time one of her wards has fallen in love with her.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? And you know, she's got experience with, you know, dealing with these troubled kids. But I thought it was very nicely handled, for sure.
It was painful to hear him, you know, because that's really what he wants to be. He wants to be able to do this.
The
only
person he could think of to run to for help. I mean, let's face it, it didn't go well with Jack.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So who else is he going to turn to? And that's how sad
he could have gone to Raylan. Maybe.
Coulda.
Well, he'd have to explain what happened to the money.
Right. Yeah. He'd have to, like, roll on his entire family.
Yeah.
I guess you're right.
But it was, again, I think the actor, and I don't know his name, but he's doing a wonderful job.
And honestly, I hope nothing bad happens to him before the end of the season.
Nah, I don't think so.
I don't think he's out of the woods now that Danny's dead.
Mm-mm. I don't think they're going to go that dark.
I feel like he's the sacrificial lamb now that he's on Daryl's side. You know, it's just him and Daryl against the world. I don't trust that pairing.
No, I don't either. But I don't think. You know, if they didn't kill Raylan's baby. Which they probably, you know, I kept predicting.
That's
I've been predicting for years they're going to do that.
A 14-year-old kid mm-hmm. who he just wasn't able to get out of the life in time, and the main character's unborn child.
I know, but they didn't have the wherewithal to kill that baby,
right.
Which is, you know, is heartbreaking in one sense, but we don't know the baby.
Yeah.
You know, we as an audience don't have an experience with that baby. And they didn't kill Winona mm-hmm. either, you know, knowing that she was on all other, like 20 other TV shows. They didn't kill her. So I don't think they're going to kill Kendall because
I think the sacrificial is still going to be Dewey.
Because we have a connection with Kendall, because Kendall is smart, and because Kendall was ready to sing like a canary when it came down to it. Chelsea's dead. Oh, and I watched you kill John Baptiste. So there.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. Open that floodgate.
Right? Yeah. Oh my God, the look on Daryl's face.
But that was a great moment when he finally was able to say, "She's dead, you asshole," you know, and just finally be able to just.
And let out the whole Jean Baptiste line. Yeah, the great. Yeah, the look on Daryl's face was
when he
great.
Realized
we learned about Jean Baptiste. That was terrific.
So dialed.
That is what's so good about watching this kid, because he goes between what is a very childlike, "I'm going to get you," to having wanting to have this dream, wanting to, you know, we could run away. I can do stuff. I can bartend. Mm-hmm. Like, oh man, you just are so lost.
Yeah, which is why I think that if anything, that will be the one little glimmer of hope, is that he will get out of this.
Right. I hope so.
Yeah.
And that's all Raylan's wanted. I mean, Raylan has been pushing to save this kid from the beginning of the
it's
season.
This year's Loretta.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm just thinking Kendall and Loretta. End of the series.
Huge there's a nice spin-off.
Neither one of them can hold on to money.
Oh my God.
So.
But at least he can do stuff, and she's way craftier than he is.
That's true. Mm-hmm. She can do stuff, too.
Yeah, they have a decent shot at a good life together.
So that's Boyd and Ava. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
That's the name of the series.
Thought bubble.
What could go wrong?
The blood pact at the end.
Yeah.
Incredibly creepy.
Incredibly creepy.
I was thinking of all the people I would not want to share any sort of bodily fluid with.
Yeah, Kendall.
It would be any crow, but yeah, Kendall.
No, it would be Daryl.
Of course.
Oh, God. Yeah. No.
You wouldn't want to share
that
with Daryl.
That was creepy, but yeah, used just condoms. Weird.
And you know, I've
especially coming off the fight, but go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what's going on in Kendall's head. Is he just doing it because he has to? Because what choice do you have at that point?
I can't say
no. Or is he ready to turn? You know, is he ready to take that turn? Since Allison didn't take him up on his offer to leave town, is he ready to commit to the life?
I don't think so. I didn't get that. I still think that he just wants.
I think
away
he's still scared and just he just wants out. But you know, imagine you're 6'4" uncle walks in. Something's very off about him. He takes out a knife.
He's bleeding already.
Yeah, he's bleeding. Takes out a knife, cuts his hand open, and he's blocking the exit.
Yeah.
You participate.
Yeah.
And you try not to upset him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 I was trying to figure out, did Daryl step down to a 15-year-old level, or did Kendall step up to an adult level in that scene? You know what I mean? It was like, so you're doing a blood bonding thing. To me, that sounds really adolescent.
Well, it's what Daryl's father did with him.
Yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so that's where I'm trying to figure out who made the move there.
Well, I don't think anybody really made the move. I think Daryl wants to create this import so that Kendall rises up and becomes a man now. But I don't think it's...
You think about how Daryl views family. Family to him is loyalty, and he is the head of that family. And he's keeping the family together because they have to do whatever he wants to do because he is the head of the family.
Mm-hmm.
He is taking care of them in his own kind of perverse way. So now that he has very little family left... I mean, he killed Dilly. Danny's dead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wendy hates his guts, and he just beat the crap out of her. Horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is going to make sure that he gets that blind loyalty from the one remaining family member he has left who hasn't really betrayed him.
And who he can influence.
Yeah.
Deeply.
But there's still...
In some weird, psychotic way, prove to Wendy, see, I am... I am fit to be in the shadows.
Weird,
twisted...
Yeah, but Wendy's not dead. I mean, she's still going to have an influence.
Yeah, so
she's a headache.
You already mentioned
it.
Let's talk about it. So he got into the fight. It's like that was another scene I was going. Everybody's fighting like crazy. Of course, we'll get to Ava and all that kind of thing.
Mm.
And you mentioned earlier, Matt, that Raylan's his patience is wearing thin. Boyd's, you could see the weight of what Boyd's been going through and all that's happening here. And Wendy, you know, everything she's having to deal with, time after time, saving these guys from going to prison.
Yeah.
And getting nothing for it, and now trying to tell him, look, it's time to cut our losses. Even Dad knew better.
That was the interesting point. She uses her father, their father, as, you know, look, this is what our family does.
Yeah.
You know, Dad taught you how to do this, and you want to keep the family together. She said that's what he always did. He always kept the family together.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was definitely hitting on what she.
Yeah, but then blows it
spot.
By saying that you're not fit to stand in the shadows. Like what? You just set, you paved the nice way for giving him an out, and then you just insulted the crap out of him. Not a very good.
Well, yeah, but then he insults her, and that's why she gets up and she socks him one.
Right.
You know, and then he returns it. realizes he's done something awful, starts apologizing, but then she grabs comes the back. Bottle That's and good. She Locks does it him. Again, mm-hmm. and then it just goes way too far.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you only get one shot when you have a bottle. Mm-hmm. You got to make it count, especially when he's, like you say, 6'4" mm-hmm. and big.
Yeah. Mm.
So that was really a hard scene to watch.
So okay, what is? I also had this is another one implausibility flag. I went. I just never saw Wendy taking a swing at him like that. I was like, what?
Because it's thinking? Too. It's stupid. It's reckless.
Yeah, she's yeah. not stupid. And how? What is one swing? She can't take her him down with one
her
swing.
Her brother is dead, and she considers that. It to be his fault. I think that there's a lot of pent-up anger there, and she's been pushed
I
to
I don't
a
disagree at all with that. Okay. I just still went...
But why would she enter a fight that there was no way she was going to
no
win?
There's no way she's going to win that yeah. fight. There's, and even if you get your shots in, which is kind of fun TV...
Right.
You know, I'm just going, yeah, there's no good out for her on that. She's usually yeah. amazing at finding the out.
Here's what, right. That's all a, season that's a fair long. Point.
Here's what I will say to that, and you take it moment by moment. Mm-hmm. She's furious with him. She socks him one because he deserves it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not thinking that he would
is going to hit her back.
Hit her back. He's in mourning.
Right.
He slugs her in
but
the stomach.
That's what I think was so silly. It's like, you know your brother.
Right.
You know that if you hit him, he's going to hit back.
But I don't know that she knows that.
See, that's where I just disagreed. I thought I just felt like okay. she's smart enough to know that. And I get that the, you know, obviously the pressure cooker, I get it. I'm not saying that it's not. For me, it was just like, nah,
well,
you could have found a better way into
little,
that.
Maybe it's a little of both. Maybe she didn't anticipate he would never do that. That's mm-hmm. why she took the shot. And
I, this is why I didn't like it, but it was a calm and rational discussion. And then it went, I would have much rather her being all pissed off because of, you know, my son, all this. And then it got into that because it was too calm, too and then all of a sudden, now you're going to swing at him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just didn't. Mm-hmm. That didn't work for me.
Well, and the second swing, the swing with the bottle, mm-hmm. I think is really the one where it, you know, she overplayed her hand, it, to you know yeah. to speak mm-hmm. to your theory. I mean, I agree with you, John.
So.
Sorry, man.
All right, that's fine.
But it was.
You can't win every time.
No, but it was an interesting. I mean. Now, don't you? Who wants Daryl killed right away?
Right, yeah. And it was, you know,
yeah.
watching a guy drag a girl across the floor by yeah. her hair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's just it right there.
But, you know, they kind of had to do that with Boyd. Remember how you started to like Boyd yeah. Last season?
You have to remind the audience
that
he's not a nice
these,
guy.
These
so
guys
when
are horrible.
So the audience will like it when he's killed.
Right.
Because we've yeah. only been seeing Daryl, yeah. you know, oh, we got a problem. And he's, like, been a peacemaker.
He's managing.
He's managing. And you haven't seen the bad part of Daryl, well, except for today
mm-hmm.
or
yes.
this episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, well, we knew from the get go. The first time we saw him, he had his brother killed.
Mm-hmm. Dylan. Yes.
So he's like, oh man, so,
yeah.
There you go. So just reminding us
not
of
a good
that.
Guy.
Not a good guy at all.
All right.
We've already talked about a little bit about Boyd. Let's go to Ava and Boyd because the first time we see
God.
Them, another time. Okay, back in the prison, and the first scene, right? The first scene between them is just. I mean, that was Steve. You started talking about it. We started to feel for Boyd again.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. It was. I thought it was great how she hung up the phone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and just it just completely reinforced the fact that she's isolated, mm-hmm. and she's just at this moment of look, it's sink or swim. There's nothing else you can do for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've got to do this on my own, and if I don't survive, I want you to know I had a moment to say goodbye to you,
mm-hmm.
and it. Everything that Boyd has said he was going to do to help has not come past.
Right.
Okay, but and here's the question I ask is, why do that? I mean, you still do what you do on the inside. Why not have him trying to help on the outside?
Well, she said she knows she's going to try and kill Judith,
right.
potentially succeed in killing Judith.
Yeah.
Which is going to put her further in prison.
Right.
You
Not
know,
just
if
further
she gets
in
caught.
Prison. Mm-hmm. If she gets caught, I mean, it's over. It's life in prison.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's life in prison.
If she doesn't get caught, then she becomes the kingpin, or mm-hmm. it does, becomes the kingpin of the heroin industry
within
jail. Yeah,
but she also needs him for the heroin.
She needs him for the heroin, but she's trying her level best to protect him, because whatever is about to go down in this prison is going to bring some serious heat.
Yeah.
And if it looks at all like he coordinated these moves,
right.
that's very, very dangerous to him. In her mind, she can't rely on him. And also, there's nothing that he's going to be able to accomplish that's going to get her out. So why not make sure that he remains safe And now she's protecting him in her own way.
Where is she going to get the heroin, though?
That's my point.
That's a great question.
Why are you cutting that off? You need that.
I was looking at it from a point of, like, I think she's realizing she's going to be changed if she ever gets out anyway.
Yeah.
And that the life that they had together, the dreams they had together, are just gone. And that I took that scene as her just
Dairy
saying,
Queen
"I'm not."
Will never be built.
Yeah, I'm not the Ava that went in. I'm going to be, and I'm going to be much different if I have to do what I have to do. Just because, okay, if she does kill
Judith,
well, then she's going to be targeted. If she's going to be, you know, the kingpin, mm-hmm. someone's going to want to, you know, make their bones on her.
Yeah, but if she's bringing in the supply, then there is some safety in that because nobody wants to mess with that because they want their supply to continue.
Yeah,
yeah. Except now she's going to have to deal with everybody else trying to mess with that. You know, it's just instead of doing nothing,
you're always going to have to deal with that. Somebody's always going to mess with you.
And that's the point, is that she's no longer the Ava that went mm-hmm. in. And that was my take, but I will agree. It's like, dude, you're saying goodbye to a supplier.
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Yeah.
So unless you have another plan. Yeah.
And who cares if he hasn't been able to – he hasn't been successful so far in doing what he needs to do. But why stop – your only connection to the outside, let him do everything he can. Why cut that off?
Yeah.
I think
– I got no good answer,
I think
Matt.
she is just done. Like, he hasn't – every time that they've had an interaction mm-hmm. – this season, they haven't been able to meet in the middle. And Boyd, as if you watch their interactions, he asks less and less about her mm-hmm. and tells her more and more about what
right.
he's doing, trying to get her out, always falling short.
Right.
He's not providing the kind of support that she actually needs, and she's accomplishing more by herself. Not only accomplishing more by herself, but her situation is increasingly impossible, and, you know, having this distraction of this hope that probably isn't going to pan out is dangerous to someone who needs to have her wits about her and know that her situation is not going to change.
Unless we're missing something, unless there was a reason why she needed to do it for the guard so it got back to mm-hmm. Judith or, you know, because she's always saying you don't need the men, mm-hmm. you know, unless there's another play that, you know, we're missing. But I do go to you with, yeah, that was your heroine and that you need that. So I'm
Rowena will be in touch.
Well,
right?
Well, yeah, evidently there's a whole list of things
she
needs Rowena to do.
Well, Rowena is just saying, I can get it in here, but you got to get it to me.
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, I don't know if Boyd even has a heroin.
Yeah, well.
So far, everyone else in Harlan's
no, he has a truck. Yeah. He got one of the trucks.
He got half of it.
Yeah.
Well, Wynn, I'm sure, has something to say about that.
Yeah. Joelle Carter was interviewed mm-hmm. about, you know, Ava and her storyline. Good interview, which I will tweet out later after we get off the air tonight. But she's talking about how this – Joelle Carter is talking about how the season is so different for her because she's not interacting with Boyd, with Walton Goggins very much. Mm-hmm. And they'll pass each other from time to time and go, hey, miss you, you know. And she says that she doesn't give anything away, but she says, I hope that they get back together again. Mm-hmm. But there is going to be some serious rebuilding. They're going to be in a completely new place if she gets out, and it's going to be hard. I believe they're going to have to rebuild, I believe.
Mm. All right. Well, let's talk more. Since we just mentioned Joelle, let's talk about the rest of her storyline. Where she gets the shiv ready and she's going to go take out Judith in the bathroom.
Yeah.
And decides not to.
There was an interesting moment in that when they're talking and you could see her reach toward her sleeve.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I'm seeing it, there's no way Mother Superior isn't seeing that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right. That had to have been a tell, mm-hmm. and which is why I think she knew she was coming later.
Mm-hmm.
And why – because what I didn't understand is why she attacked her. Why mother
– Why Judith.
Why Judith.
Yeah, why Judith attacked her when she was saying, look, we can do this together. I can cut you in and everything. And it had to have been something to do with the earlier scene where she was moving to her hand.
Well, she said that – you know, she said, I don't know if I can trust you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Because you did come to me to kill me.
Right. Yeah, she did. But then, but because she didn't, and because she came to her and said, "Look, I don't agree mm-hmm. with it though." Because of Rowena, I also had the same question. It's like, what? Why? I don't
because
get it.
It's not just that you know she was going to kill you. I was going to kill you, but I changed my mind.
Right.
Which, first of all, someone tells you that you're never going to forget the first part of that sentence. Mm-hmm. But she's also, Judith is a leader of these women who are afraid to take her down. They are afraid to face her. Mm-hmm. She's very intimidating. Her intimidation is her entire power source.
Right.
So to have someone who has the balls to get this close to killing her, mm-hmm. even if she's like, we can do this together, I don't want to, it can't stand. It is a chink in the armor that cannot be had.
I think she could use it another way. I think Judith could say, look, you just recognized somebody that had an opportunity and couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So now you know that in a weird way, you can know, okay.
You know her weakness? Suppose,
well, you know that, for instance, she's Penny. Judith knows everybody's out. Potentially, she can't trust anybody.
Right.
And everybody could kill me. So here's one person who had an opportunity and was ready to but couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So now this person, as opposed to somebody who I don't know when they can do, could kill me or if they would or would not, this person I know didn't.
Again, unless Judith really just wanted out and figured, okay, I'll just do, you know, death by, you know.
I don't think that's the motivation. Fight.
I couldn't follow that storyline. I didn't understand.
I felt like it was very clear. Judith doesn't take betrayal lightly, and she can't have her rep be tarnished
in any way. But here's the thing. What rep was tarnished? If other people knew that Ava was going to kill her and didn't, it makes is Judith look stronger because she couldn't do it.
She couldn't do it, but then you kill her for even having the thought. This is prison. This is war. You can't back down for even an instant. And to have it be known that someone got close enough to her to do it, shiv in hand, even if she changed her mind, means that a gang of women could do it.
Mm. And just because she changed her mind... Mm-hmm. What's to say she's not going to change her mind back again next week? I mean, it's just steps toward the act.
No, I absolutely believe that. And I understand those arguments, but in the moment, I'm still going, yeah, okay. I didn't reach a threshold of, okay, I'm going to take her out. I understand your argument, but I was just like,
okay.
It's a good argument.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Didn't help her, though.
Can we go back to Boyd a little bit? Because I want to talk to about the conversation that he had with Ava, the goodbye conversation.
Yeah.
And his language and his demeanor and how everything changed with this episode. So he says to her, woman, do you know what I have done for you? Mm-hmm. He didn't say baby, sweetie, honey, he called her those things, darling. He called her woman. Mm-hmm. And it was so cold. In a certain way. I mean, it was like the beginning of the turn for him, and so angry because he just spent time, or he was in the next scene, is going to spend time with Jimmy, who he had killed somebody for this woman.
Yeah, he just killed an old man. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, so his demeanor and his language, like, really got, like, stone cold dark.
Well, yeah, because in his mind, it's like, wait, I just killed an old man for you, and you're giving me this grief right now?
Mm-hmm. Right.
All this effort thrown right back in his face, endangering their operation, their future
going to
together.
Mexico, all the stuff he's done that she doesn't know about, all the details. And he...
For me, though, I got the feeling that, oh gosh, I can't really articulate it, but you know, the sense of him, like, is he going to walk away? I guess is my question. And let's fast forward to the conversation with Albert.
Yes.
So he finds Albert in the bar. Mm-hmm. He obviously is setting Candy up with Albert so that they can apprehend him later.
Extracts him from the bar.
He ties him up, talks about, you know, Boyd has a knife in his hand, is again the stone cold killer that we know he can be. Mm-hmm. Charming as he is sometimes. He's holding that knife and he says, you know, how many times did you use the word penetrate? Did you penetrate? Mm-hmm. Which means, you know, evokes a whole bunch of other things when you've got a guy and a knife and a guy in a chair. You know, what's going to happen here? Mm-hmm. So it really put the fear of God in Albert. So then Albert says, I did it because I loved her and I couldn't have her.
Mm-hmm.
And that turns Boyd, please let's discuss.
Yeah.
Well,
it was one of those conversations where I just went,
what? Well, I part of it goes back to the whole thing where, you know, he's done so much to try to get her out.
Right.
And every step of the way, it's been thwarted in some fashion. So, and here this is, he just wants this guy to recant.
Yeah.
And he can't get him to.
Right.
Well, first of all, what I didn't understand is even if you have him recant tied to a chair, how are you going to get him to recant in a courtroom?
Mm-hmm. Well, because it's threat of death.
It's fear of death.
Yeah, the fear of death.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Yeah. But, okay, so you love her and everything. Well, then isn't that argument, well, recant and we can get her out? I mean, if he's crazy, don't you play to the crazy?
We'll get her out, but then he still can't have her. What I love about this scene, and I think what you're hitting on, Tamara, is that Boyd sees something of himself in this guy that he hates so utterly, in that he's been doing everything that he can and he is there because he loves her so completely. Mm-hmm. And to have those same feelings betray both of them and to be looking this guy who, you know, he compliments him. He's like, it took some serious, you know,
commitment
and fortitude to penetrate yourself twice, you know, and it's in the name of love. And he can't, for a moment, he just can't even bring himself to do it.
And just like you were saying, everything Boyd's done, and she still doesn't want him.
It didn't pay off for me, though. Yeah. Because he made a point in the jail, I got this thing, I got him, I got a lead on him. You know, we're going to get him to everything.
That was before she said, don't bother, basically.
But then he
still did it.
Yeah.
He still went and found out.
Because he figures if he can do this and get her out,
he's going to change her mind.
Yeah. Right. If he can, then that'll change things. But I think at some point he just realized it's just not going to work.
No matter what I do, it's kind of over.
Come on, it's true love between Ava and Boyd.
Well, this is, I think Albert thought it was true love too.
I think that's what he's questioning.
And the way Walton Goggins is lit in this scene, he looks like a shadow of himself.
Exactly. That's why the weight of it. That's what I was saying earlier in the scene.
I totally agree with that.
I just killed an old man for you, and now you're breaking up with me. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to torture this guy. What good is that going to do? If that didn't turn your head or make you understand what I'm trying to do, what is torturing this guy going to do?
And I don't think it was about the torture. I think he needed – see, to me, I just keep going back to, look, this is the guy that put her into the jail she's in now. Mm-hmm. So – and if you remember, that was going to be the next day. She was going to get out.
Right.
And that whole beat's getting lost. And they're not readdressing that. They were this close to getting their life back. This is the guy that put her over there.
Right.
And this is the guy that holds the key to get her back. And to let him go because he says, well, I did it because I love her, that just seemed like, wow, that was kind of an easy out. And it wasn't as fulfilling as anything.
Well, I don't think it's over.
No.
I mean, it's definitely not over.
It wasn't resolved. The scene is left open-ended. We don't know what Boyd did with this information and with these feelings. I think the important thing about it, and frankly, I don't think they've ever stepped away from the fact that they were this close to getting out. The fact that they did get this close made it that much more crushing that they now can't. And I think the important thing here is that Boyd is seeing a parallel between himself and this despicable little guy who, you know, completely railroaded their chance at happiness.
Well, here's the thing. If she gets in trouble for killing Judith, and he did say, yeah, I understand. I can recant. Well, then that would be something totally different. Oh, you had the opportunity. You missed it because look what happened. Mm-hmm. But if she skates on that and they don't use this guy, then I'm kind of like, well, then what are you guys doing? What's going on?
Well, not that we don't usually do predictions on this show, but I'm going to predict that she will not get caught for that crime because it's over for good for Ava. And I don't think they're going to do that on the show.
Yeah.
So she's not going to get caught for the murder or injury, attempted murder. We don't know if she's dead.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
We didn't see the blood coming out. We didn't see the coroner pronounce her dead.
She wasn't putting a body bag
in. So I don't think that's going to be the case. But, we, as viewers, I hate to kind of meta talk it, but we like seeing Boyd and Ava together. Or at least the hopes of Boyd and Ava being together. And so when they take that away, that ruins
the Dairy Queen, don't we?
So, yeah, we do want the Dairy Queen.
The Dairy Queen and the house on Clover Hill and little Crowders running around everywhere and stirring up trouble.
They were this close.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With a chocolate vanilla swirl.
Crowder babies. Come on. Anyone would want to see the next generation justify the next generation with Raylan's daughter being like a kick-ass marshal.
For sure.
And then, you know, we got Loretta and Kendall already.
They start their own McCree crime family.
That's it. That'll be nice.
Because he'll take her name because she's stronger than him.
All right. And speaking of crime families, let's go to Wynn now because
that gets us
over to Picker and Catherine. We got – all right. That was terrific. Mary Steenburgen coming in with that. Go ahead,
what did I miss? Who's Catherine?
So Catherine, Catherine is the – I think it's Catherine Hall – is the widow, the widow of his former mentor.
Wynn Duffy's former mentor.
Catherine Hale. She's a new character that is going to be on this season and next season. So whatever's happening in these next three episodes with her is going to set up a larger arc for what happens to Wynn. And it's interesting, their history, like the first time we see them on screen together and she's talking about, I haven't seen you in 10 years, and just her attitude makes it kind of sound like they have some kind of romantic history.
Right.
And it makes you wonder what happened to the mentor. Curious. You know,
we don't know.
We don't know, but she's very enigmatic. She's she is requiring 50K to weigh in on the Picker versus Boyd conundrum.
She brings clarity.
Right.
She makes an assessment.
Right. Mm-hmm. But, like, Picker says, you know, you can pick the guy who's probably going to get you put in jail or the guy who's going to make you rich. I'm like, what has Picker done? I mean,
Picker hasn't done anything.
He introduced them to Mr. Yoon, but that's it. I mean, I know that's a big deal.
But then he has just sat on his behind. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And done nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think Wynn was thinking in that moment, no, I'm picking between how you're going to kill me and how he's going to kill me.
Right.
Which is where the other thing is,
I think there's this some sort of, well, there's a huge camaraderie between Wynn and Boyd. There's some sort of, I mean, I think Wynn recognizes that Boyd was, that's who I was back then.
Right.
I think there's some of that.
He's the hillbilly version of me.
Yeah, that kind of thing, that he's a survivor, he's, you know, he knows how to work, and he's an opportunist, all those things that I think Wynn respects.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, there's having issues and problems. Otherwise, he wouldn't be bringing Catherine in. But I think Wynn would rather work with Boyd.
Yeah, I think Wynn is trying to
figure... Don't forget, Wynn had tried to have Boyd killed.
Yeah. And I think he recognizes just what you're saying, that Boyd could easily come out of this, you know, a player.
Yeah.
And it's best to make sure everybody's happy.
And I agree with Matt, though. I mean, what the hell has Picker done? Nothing.
I'm surprised he's still around.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't just been
shot. He's got some serious balls on him saying that he's the one who's going to make him all this money.
Right.
I'm just saying. Feet haven't been on the ground. He hasn't held a gun in weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm not sure what he's doing.
And we are on episode 10 here right now. Yeah. Things are going to start to really go.
They're going to escalate.
Catherine says, oh, okay, so you're between a Chicago rock
Detroit.
And
a Detroit rock and a shit kicker hard place.
A hard place. Mm-hmm. Well, who in Detroit? I thought Detroit
that's
was...
Picker.
Picker was from Detroit.
Picker's from
so
Detroit.
So that's it?
That's Detroit?
Yeah.
So you could whack Picker and that issue's done?
No, the Detroit mob is essentially done.
Theo Tonin is...
Yeah, I mean, the last time I saw Theo, he was in a box shot.
Picker's the last remnant of the Detroit mob. He doesn't have any connections anymore.
She was just referring to, here are the two people you're going to be working with. This choice is Detroit rock, shit kicker.
It seems like a real easy... easy solution to me.
Except right now it isn't because all Boyd had to do was get the stuff.
Yeah. And he couldn't even do
and
that.
Still, and now there was. Now we got a partner. Now Dewey's in it. I mean, everywhere they go.
There's no good choice.
But I'm saying for Wynn Duffy, it seems like a really easy choice. If there's nothing behind Picker, if Detroit mob is gone.
Well, we don't know
gone,
that part. What we know is that Picker not only brought him to Yoon, we don't know what else he can provide. We haven't had that information shared with us. We don't know what else he provides.
It'd be nice to know to get in on that story.
Well, I'm sure as Catherine makes her assessment, we will learn.
Yes, perhaps. She will bring clarity for us as well.
All right, we got to move on because we got to wrap up with news and gossip and then get out of here.
Okay. I got a little bit of news.
AfterBuzz TV News.
In an interview with Michael Rapaport, he discussed how playing Daryl is a little like therapy. It's been a lot of fun. Sometimes it's just like venting. You scream, you yell, you punch people, you smack people and all that stuff. It's very fun to do. He says there are a lot of big twists and turns at the end and it's going to be kind of shocking.
That's
not exactly news.
Yeah.
But there are a couple of scenes that are like crazy.
That's what
we love.
More beating up on a
sister. And about his future on the show. You know, everybody gets the call. You get the call from Graham Yost when you're going to die.
Yeah.
And he said, I didn't really know what was going to happen until we finished shooting. So I finished shooting.
Okay, so he didn't get a call.
Wow. No, we don't know that. Mm-hmm. He just didn't tell us that he got the call. Because they don't tell us that until the day after the show
airs. At least somebody who got the call.
Yeah. But, you know, he said, you don't really get a... Okay. The way that his character is behaving and the fact that I'm a bad guy stepping into a world of other bad guys, there was a risk to take, but I didn't have any problems with it because it's been fun while it lasted.
Ooh. Well, that could be just for the season.
Yeah.
They finished shooting.
Yeah.
That's what he keeps saying.
Yeah.
So. The only other news I have is that Timothy Olyphant is going to be on Late Night with Seth Meyers next Wednesday, the 26th of March.
Great.
Oh, by the way, At Midnight, the show that comes on after Colbert.
Yeah. Yes.
At Midnight.
Midnight had Walton Goggins.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
read an eBay ad or something.
Oh, that's funny.
It was great to see him. Oh, yeah. He was awesome.
And so, our other news, who are we having?
So on April 2nd for episode 12, in 2 weeks, we are going to have Jacob Pitts on the show. Yay! Jacob Pitts, of course, plays Tim Gutterson on the show. And we're going to be so excited to talk to him about it. So check that out on April 2nd, episode 12.
And you can email us, tweet us, put comments. Yes.
Any questions that you have for Jacob,
Let us know, and we would love to.
Email info@afterbuzztv.com. Yeah. You can tweet at us.
Is that the episode he dies?
No. Stop it.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't
Whoops.
Make trouble.
Don't even.
Whoops. Don't make trouble.
That's right. All right. Well, that's it for us. Any last words from anybody before
next week we have Art in the hospital.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Okay, but as soon as he said that, didn't you know that was going to happen?
Yeah,
as soon as he said,
I'll take care of it.
He's like, what? Have you never seen this show?
Everybody in the room goes, Oh!
I thought it was going to happen this week, but thankfully it doesn't happen until the beginning of next week. Still sad.
And then the wife says, "Where were you,
Raylan? Where were you, Raylan?
Yeah.
Why weren't you
Puts
where you were
right
supposed to be?
Puts it right squarely on his shoulders.
Where it should be.
Absolutely.
Which means in, 12 and 13, Raylan's going to have plenty of motivation to do his job.
You better do right. Mm-hmm. Better do
Art's
right.
He's not going to die.
No, he's not going to die.
I don't know.
No, he's not going to die.
I say Raylan sits behind his desk with his boots up.
Okay.
Nails,
and puts the
man.
Poster back up behind him in Art's office.
Can't anymore.
Because you have it.
Okay. Anything else?
So no.
Cool. All right, great. Let's tell them where they can find you.
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Lieberman, MattLieberman. And also, starting tomorrow, I am now officially a correspondent of the YouTube network SourceFed.
Nice.
So my first video should be posted tomorrow or Friday. So if you have the inclination, check that out. I will be tweeting that out from my Twitter. Very excited about that.
Are you cloned?
Awesome.
Is that how this works?
I'm not
cloned.
God,
how many are there
busy.
Of you? Bottomly Steve at Twitter. Also, check out Bandcamp.com. Did I say it wrong?
Yeah, Bottomly Steven.
Oh, Jesus. Bottomly Steven. Bandcamp.com. Bears and you.
At Tamara Berg, TamaraBerg on Twitter. Also, my website is TamaraCentral.com. It's got cool stuff on it. Go check it out.
All right, and we'll be here next week, so thank you much for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next time.
Can't wait.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.